Welcome to Yale Cancer Center Answers with Drs. Ed Chu and Ken Miller. I'm Bruce Barber. Dr. Chu is Deputy Director and Chief of Medical Oncology at Yale Cancer Center, and Dr. Miller specializes in pain and palliative care. If you'd like to join the discussion, you can contact the doctors directly. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu, and the phone number is 1-888-234-4YCC. This evening, Ed and Ken speak with Barbara Oliver, the Executive Director of YME Connecticut.
Barbara, you're a breast cancer survivor, and I just want to ask if you could share a little bit of your own story.
Okay. I am a breast cancer survivor, and it's been 20 years. But 20 years ago, thanks to the ACS, the American Cancer Society, they were running in the forefront an ad about doing breast self-exam, and I had four kids, healthy, exercising, all the good stuff. And I happened to see it and thought, I didn't do that. I haven't done it. And I did it the next day in the shower and found a lump. And, I talked to a group of women yesterday and said, if you find something that's in your breast that doesn't feel like it belongs here, check it out. 80% of what they find is nothing. But I couldn't tell that. So I had a mammogram, didn't show up. For younger women, sometimes it doesn't show up. We could get into that if you want to. And then had a surgeon look at it, and he determined it needed to have a biopsy. Had a biopsy, had the lump removed, and sure enough, it was breast cancer. But I heard early. I found it early. So I had some options, and through much opinions, through much searching around and decision-making, I decided, and I'm the youngest of six girls, I decided that I was going to have the breast removed and have reconstruction. And it really worked very well for me, and I'm still pleased at that. A year and a half later, I went back and had the other breast removed because I had a small chance of it recurring, not recurring, having a separate breast cancer in the other breast. Had it removed and had reconstruction, and here I am, very fortunate to have found it early.
Yeah. Now, after your surgery, did you need to have any kind of follow-up therapy in the form of chemotherapy?
I did. In those days, just spent 5 days in the hospital.
Wow.
And around my fifth day, the doctor came back and said, the pathology report is back, and there's one node, and you need chemo. He said, we urge it, we suggest it, we think you ought to have it, we can't make you have it. And I was really scared about it, but thought, gee, for all the right reasons, I got to do it. So I had CMF, cytoxin, methotrexate, and 5-FU. And then after that, I had tamoxifen, and I was on it for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And maybe for our listeners out there, so while Barbara, 20 years ago, had to be hospitalized for chemotherapy, I think we've really come a long way in the 20 years.
Yes.
Such that now really patients who were in the same situation as yourself, Barbara, really get the chemotherapy as an outpatient. They come into the clinic and then go home that same day.
Absolutely. And, we had a board member last year who passed away from cancer, but it was just an incredible journey. And I was fortunate enough to accompany her on most of her treatment at the infusion centers and stuff. And it was in and out. One-day treatments, and nothing like 20 years ago. Nothing like 20 years ago. I feel like a dinosaur sometimes, but my message is still the same, and it should be.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, it's a wonderful message, and for everyone listening out there. I mean, it's been 20 years, which is wonderful. I want to add, the name of the organization is Why Me, and so I want to ask you along those lines, looking back 20 years ago, your feelings then or now, do you ask yourself, why me? Is that a common question?
People I know are. Some women do, but most of the women we talk to say they don't. Why not me?
Mm-hmm.
I never did. I think I just was astonished that it was breast cancer and I dealt with it. It's an interesting point that I am the youngest of six girls. There is no history in the family, but that's the first thing most women say. And that's where most women that have breast cancer have no family history. So still in my family, I'm the only one. So my sisters look at me. Just thinking, same house, same parents, same food, same whatever. And no one knows what causes it. So I never dwell on that. I did what I had to do and moved on.
And I guess that's another important point to emphasize is that while we always think of breast cancer as a genetic disease and running in families, the large majority of patients who unfortunately get afflicted with breast cancer don't have a family history, just as in your case.
Absolutely. Isn't there, does a sister study currently going on? Are you aware of that, dealing with issues of connecting with the sisters of women who've had breast cancer? Are you familiar with that at all?
I don't think we have any definitive information from that yet.
Okay.
I mean, it is, and I want to point out for listening audience too, there is genetic testing available mm-hmm. for women with a strong family history, but if you find, as you were saying, Barbara, if you find a lump in the breast, regardless of your family history, obviously pursue it, because you know early diagnosis makes such a difference.
I think it's not only the lump in the breast. It's the, when we talk about doing breast self-exam for women, it's looking in the mirror and seeing what your breasts look like. It's leaning over and is there a dimpling, or sometimes women say there's a heat in the breast or a particular soreness or there's a discharge from the nipple. Again, 80%, isn't it, that it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way to determine that and not be worried and frantic and wondering is to have it checked out by a doctor.
Absolutely.
Barbara, as you were sharing your story, I really got a sense of that you made decisions, that you were faced with choices, you made decisions. Does that process of making the choices, making decisions, is that helpful as you look back now to sort of empowering and sort of healing in its own way?
I found it very empowering. And, you know, I tell women, since I'm out there so much and we have the support groups and I do a lot of speaking, that it's really important to realize that it's all about you. People mean well. And they have all sorts of advice, but it's about you. So second opinions, third opinions if necessary, getting a notebook, writing down various suggestions from people and what the doctor is saying, and maybe bringing a tape recorder to the meetings with the doctors. And all that leads to empowerment and helping with your decisions.
What's terrific, obviously, now is that there is a support system like Why Me.
Absolutely.
To you know, offer advice and education and impart knowledge to women who have the disease. But 20 years ago, Barbara, when you were first diagnosed and going through the whole process, you know, what was the support system like back then? Were there any such organizations to help you?
If there were, I couldn't find them. I couldn't find them. Why Me is celebrating its 30th anniversary coming up. But at that point, it wasn't a national organization. It did have a nationwide hotline. But I wasn't informed about that. And I really kind of tread my own way on this journey of finding something. And, you know, I have to give a plug for Bernie Siegel, because my sister had been doing some meditation, was into, you know, meditation mm-hmm. and alternative lifestyle, and said, you need help, because I was facing chemo and I was so scared. Mm. And so Bernie Siegel was speaking in New Haven, and I joined one of his support groups. Mm. We were all women. We had various types of cancer. We met once a week, and it was so empowering. And I would go in there for the first 3 weeks and cry. And suddenly they'd hug me and say, don't cry. And I couldn't even say my name until the third week. But out of it came such a support system, and I knew I wasn't alone. And they were the only ones that understood. My husband, my kids, they all loved me and wanted to help, but they didn't understand.
Barbara, well, you know, for the audience and the listening audience, can you tell us what is Why Me? And it's, you know, it's obviously been around a long time. Yeah. So tell us.
Yeah. Why Me is a national breast cancer organization that provides support and information and education. It was an interesting story of how it was started. 30 years ago, there were two women in Chicago, I believe around Northwestern, and they both had breast cancer. You know, which is, you could barely say cancer still at that point. And friends brought them together. And they thought, well, if there's us, let's see if there's others out there, and put an ad in the paper to have women come together in a support group. And by God, all these women came to this woman's apartment. And it grew so fast, so quickly, that they met at the Y. And it became the Y and Me. True story. It became the Y and Me. And then it became a Why Me Breast Cancer Organization. The mission of Why Me is to ensure, through information, empowerment, and peer support, that no one faces breast cancer alone. And that's a big thing, that idea of no one facing breast cancer alone. That's why we have the hotline. Women call here in Connecticut. They'll call our local number. We'll talk to them, give them all sorts of local resources, packets of information, and refer them to the national line. It's answered by a breast cancer survivor, a trained one, 24 hours a day. And I know because I've tested it. Mm-hmm. I've done that 3 o'clock call, you know, and she answers it. she's on call. It's not an operator. It's not a wait a second with a recording. You're actually speaking to a breast cancer survivor. We also have a translating line where there's 300 languages available. We also, when you call that, there's a men's hotline for the man whose significant other, wife, sister, mother, grandmother, or himself has breast cancer and can speak to and can be matched up with somebody else. So you can not only speak to a survivor, but you can then be matched up. I may call and say, you know, I'm facing chemo, and I'm going to have Adriamycin. Can you tell me something about it? And they'll match her up with a woman who's had it, maybe the same age, you know? So it's a wonderful, wonderful resource.
Wow, that's terrific. About how many women would you say, you know, you're involved in counseling and supporting, you know, here in the state of Connecticut?
How many women call the line?
Yeah.
Call on. We get about 900 calls a year just here, and we're a small office. We're two people in the office, but we track it. And we also get women from Connecticut who know the national line first. So they call and they get information from them, and then they track that information back to us so we can make sure that they have follow-up too here. So just a wonderful resource. There's nothing like it. You know, we're not the American Cancer Society, God bless it, with all the cancers. We're not Susan Komen. They're fabulous, who hasn't done a cook, a race, a fish, or whatever for the cure, really. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they do research. But we're the survivors on the breast cancer hotline nationwide. And we're also women who want to empower others so that they don't go through breast cancer alone, as well as their families and, you know, their significant others.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting point you bring up that sometimes family really wants to help and wants to be supportive. and yet sometimes a woman may still feel alone.
Very much so. I told a story to the group the other day that I was with. Well-meaning people have a tendency to tell you what to do. And having five older sisters, I have one that I love dearly. I love them all. But I have a particular one that would say to me, you should. Mm-hmm. That's not in the vocabulary of a breast cancer survivor and those that love her, because it denotes that you're doing something wrong because you're not doing what they want. So my sister would say, you should be going to Boston. You should be going to New York and questioning me about why I was doing what I was doing. So I pulled away. I pulled away from them until the one I was really close to talked to me and went back to them and said, it's her decision. We got to support her. She's done everything she's done. She's made her decision. Now it's up to us to be behind her. And that's what happened. But I don't allow you should in my life.
Well, and you know, I think it's interesting. Maybe that's an important lesson, not only for breast cancer survivors, breast cancer patients, but really for all of us in our everyday lives.
She still says it.
Is that right?
Yeah, she comes to the condo and says, you should get some curtains for that window that really, amen.
Barbara, I want to ask you, WIME offers support groups throughout the state for women. And can you tell us more about those support groups and what is participating in a support group like?
We have six support groups. As a matter of fact, the women that facilitate them were just trained nationally by WIME. I just had a training up in Cromwell. And national representatives came in, and we spent a day, very long day, making sure that they have the principle of WIME, that no two women are alike, that we're not there. We're not doctors and nurses. We're not there to tell them what to do. We respect their opinions. And we want them to feel in a safe environment, so what is in the group stays in the group. They started because wonderful volunteers called WIME and said, for example, we were at the Milford Shopping Center at a health fair many years ago, and a woman came up and said, I understand you do support groups. And I said, yes. And she said, you don't have one at Griffin. And I said, well, it's not that easy. Usually we have a volunteer that steps to the plate, and we work with her. And she said, well, I'll volunteer. I'm calling the administration. Can I have them call you? And they did, and we met, and we started one there. It's a story for just about everyone. We have one at Manchester Hospital. We have one at Griffin Hospital, Milford Hospital, St. Vincent Medical Center in Bridgeport, Old Saybrook at the Congregational Church, and then our newest one of a year and a half is at the Yale Medical Center in the Shoreline in Guilford. So we're really thrilled with that. And several of them, like the one at the Shoreline, has an oncology nurse partnering with the survivor, and that's terrific. But it is a breast cancer survivor that facilitates a group with an oncology nurse, and we do have oncology nurses at the hospital ones.
We'd like to remind you to email your questions to us or to Barbara Oliver at canceranswers@yale.edu. We're going to take a short break for a medical minute, and then please stay tuned to learn more information about Why Me Connecticut with Barbara Oliver.
Over 170,000 Americans will be diagnosed with lung cancer this year, and more than 85% of these diagnoses are related to smoking. The important thing to understand is that quitting, even after decades of use, can significantly reduce your risk of developing lung cancer. Each day, patients with lung cancer are surviving thanks to increased access to advanced therapies and specialized care, and new treatment options are giving lung cancer survivors new hope. Clinical trials are currently underway at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers, like the one at Yale, to test innovative new treatments for lung cancer. And patients enrolled in these trials are given access to medicines not yet approved by the Food and Drug Administration. This has been a Medical Minute, and you'll find more information at yalecancercenter.org. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum from Connecticut Public Radio.
Welcome back to Yale Cancer Answers. This is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Dr. Ed Chu and Barbara Oliver, Executive Director of Why Me Connecticut. Barbara, as we start the second portion of the show, I wanted to ask a little bit about family. I see in front of me a wonderful brochure, When the Woman You Love Has Breast Cancer. And so let me start out by asking you, what advice would you give to a husband, a partner, a family member?
First of all, call the hotline, because it's a tremendous resource. It's not just for the woman with breast cancer, because there are family materials, there's match calls to be made. That's an interesting question, because we see the family members sometimes in the support groups. They'll call and say, woman will say, can my sister come or my mother? Absolutely. The mission of Why Me is to make sure no one faces breast cancer alone, and we're trying to incorporate that into everything we do. So we do have lectures. Most of the support groups, particularly the ones at hospitals, offer support lectures and invite the family in. And there's just, they can call the office and get all sorts of materials. And, of course, we really do refer to, we don't recommend doctors. That's really important to understand. But we refer the patients and their families back to the doctors, back to the support system that they have medically for questions and answers. If they're not sure about something, go back and ask the doctor. It starts as the team begins to grow with the patient and the doctor.
Barbara, just maybe picking up on Ken's questions, again, kind of relating back to your own experience. You know, did any of the dynamics change, you know, between your husband, your children, you know, your sibs, while you were going through the whole process of your treatment for breast cancer?
Interesting question.
And not to get too personal, but it'd be helpful for our listeners out there.
As you can tell, my way of dealing with things is talking about it. It always has been. Other women choose to do it their way. That was my way. So I felt if I was going to get through this, I needed my family around me. So I was pretty honest with the kids. I let their teachers know. I told everybody I knew. And I said, and don't leave me on this, you know. Mm-hmm. If I'm going in the hospital, if I'm going to have chemo, take me to chemo. Bring me flowers. You know, I want it all. That's mm-hmm. the way I dealt with it. I really need that support system around me. My kids were great. My husband, it just wasn't in his vocabulary. He would hug me and all that, but he just didn't want to talk about it, which is so common. Mm-hmm. It took joining Why Me to realize that, hey, I thought I was alone on that, and I'm not. It's a very common thing for husbands, significant others, family members not to want to talk about it. But, you know, it can hurt a woman terribly. It's like, why won't you open up? You're mm-hmm. pulling away from me. I remember right before I went in to the hospital for surgery the next day, I called my husband's secretary and said, I'm going in the hospital. Please let people know. And, flowers, candy, the whole bit. Don't leave me alone in there. And she said, Mrs. Oliver, what are you going in for? And, so he wasn't talking about it. So I gave him permission. I was like, it's okay. I understand where you're coming from. But you need to know that I'm going to talk about it. And so that kind of cleared the air. Mm-hmm.
So as you say, that does seem to be a fairly common experience. What advice can you give for our listeners out there?
That's why there's the men's hotline, too. It's not just, about the man whose wife has breast cancer. It's about the man or the woman who can't talk about it, who needs another man to say, hey, it's okay. You know, you deal with it best you can, and this is how you can help your wife or whoever it is in your life that you can't communicate with mm-hmm. on this topic.
Yeah, but a related question, but, you know, we look at the cancer experience as a difficult one for many people, as traumatic for other people. What kind of, as you look at your own life, I mean, what kind of personal growth has there been from cancer? I get a feeling there's been a lot, but I'm wondering.
There has been a lot. And I think every woman that I see in the support group says she's grown in some aspect of her life because it changes you. You just see life becomes very precious. And without being melodramatic, really, it does. You've come through a horrendous experience, and you're on the other side of it, and you look back, and boy, have you moved forward. Mm-hmm. So I didn't waste time. I got through that chemo. I had kids that were active. I'm pretty active. And I joined the Leukemia Society and was there for 7 years. And, you know, I have to tell the story. I left the Leukemia Society in good graces, but I was doing more and more about breast cancer. The phone would ring. A patient would call regarding their patient fund. And all of a sudden I'd get this, Oliver, can you take the call and talk to the patient? And then I was talking about my breast cancer experience to various groups privately. So I wanted to move on, and I wasn't sure it was going to be breast cancer. And then an ad was in the paper for a women's health agency in Brantford. And I saw the P.O. box and got the brochure out and said, my God, it's Why Me Breast Cancer Organization. So when they called me and asked for an interview, I said, oh, it's Why Me? And she said, how did you know? I said, because I have your brochure. I'm a survivor. And, you know, that's not, I would presume that's not why I got it, but I think it helped the position. But yeah, life-changing, absolutely. In small ways, for others, it's big. Women in support groups say that, you know, they suddenly hug their kids more. Sometimes a marriage dissolves. Sometimes, you know, there's problems. But it seems women get stronger having gone through it, or at least don't revert back to something they were before that they didn't like.
Mm-hmm. So Barbara, Why Me has a terrific hotline. You offer these wonderful support groups. You also have, you organize terrific symposiums. In fact, just last month, you had a terrific symposium at the Anlin Center, at the Yale Cancer Center.
Right. And, you know, women really look forward to that. And it's a family event. Husbands come, boyfriend, sisters, mother, anybody's welcome to join the breast cancer survivor I'm going to it.
I have a related question about your other activities. You're doing a educational program at Stanford High School, or Stanford, the high school. So tell us about that.
Why Me has a teen program, and we go after the seniors in high school and do a program at Stanford High. We do it at other high schools, too, but I just got through doing it at Stanford High. We have a Dr. Manassi, who's a breast cancer surgeon. We have a representative of the hospital, and we have me at Why Me is representing survivorship, and we talked to the senior girls in high school, and they are awesome. Stanford High has something like 240 girls sitting in an audience, seeing a small video, very short video, on doing breast self-exam, hearing from me as a survivor, and then having the breast cancer doctor talk to them. And it's not about getting breast cancer. It's about being seniors in high school, going out into the community. You know, they're going to be working next year, college, some are going to be in the armed forces, and it's the opportunity to learn what your breasts feel now and how to do it. So as they grow older, if they find something, they can have it checked out. But the plus of it all is that we say you're our missionaries. You go out into the communities to your mothers and your grandmothers and your aunts and your guardians and tell them, have you had a mammogram? Mm-hmm. Do you know about this? And we know because we get their calls. We'll get a call saying, my daughter was at a recent discussion at her school, and can you tell me where I can get a mammogram in the Stanford area? So, you know, it comes back. Sure. And they love it. We give them a bag full of stuff, and they ask wonderful questions. The doctor is the one that answers questions, but, you know, questions come out like, can I, if I were hit by a ball, can I get breast cancer? No, obviously. But no question is stupid, and no question is, if they need to ask it, and they do.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll pose a couple questions to you that I just think we should put out there. If someone were to ask you, and you know, is breast cancer contagious?
Absolutely not. Well, you're the doctor.
Thank you. But I think it's important. These are some of the things people wonder about.
That's right.
You know, same thing. I'm asked also by patients. You know, I hit the steering wheel when I had a car accident or someone hit me with a baseball. So these are other questions. The other thing is, I'll ask you, pose another one, and obviously I could answer it, but I think it's better to come from you. But do you, to develop breast cancer, do you have to have had a family history?
No, you don't have to have a family history. And many of the, as I look out into the audience of the girls in the high schools, if you say that question about how many of you, raise your hand, know of somebody who's had breast cancer, is undergoing treatment, 90-95% of the audience is going to raise that hand. So it needs to, they need to be educated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the questions are make it obvious that they do need to be more educated. Certainly they all come. There's not a sound in the audience. They listen to everything. But I think the breast, hearing a survivor, and I, as I get a little older, I'm always a little reluctant as to think that maybe they'll listen to me. Well, I know that when my boy was a senior at Fairfield Prep, and the other one was a junior, they were in high school. So I'm the age, when I had my breast cancer, I was the age of some of their mothers. So, you know, I can bring it home in many forms, but that's one of them, so they listen.
Well, I think that's a terrific program, because as you say, education is the key. And again, for this disease, screening and early detection really is the best way to beat this disease.
Mm-hmm. And they really go home and spread the gospel of breast cancer awareness. So, you know, it's a wonderful program. And we don't do it often enough. So, but Stanford continues it every year. And we do it at Stratford High School. You know, we'd like to expand that too. So,
terrific. Let me ask both of you a question. And that is, so Barbara, WIME is a terrific support group, right, for breast cancer patients, survivors. Mm-hmm. Ken, you know, we've heard on the show from you and others the important role of survivorship. In fact, you're the director of our survivorship program, the Connecticut Challenge Survivorship Program, mm-hmm. here at the Yale Cancer Center, and we're very proud of the work that you do. You know, any possibility that we can bring the two worlds together, why me, you know, the Yale Cancer Center Survivorship Program, to really, you know, benefit you know, women with breast cancer here throughout Connecticut and the region?
Well, you know, I mentioned we actually had a program called Dialogues recently where we met with a group of women who are breast cancer survivors. And one of the, we came up with two conclusions, sort of projects. One of them, the first one, was a patient-to-patient program. And as I was sitting today with Barbara learning more about Why Me, which is a group that I've known some about, but I learned more today, I said, geez, you know what? Maybe Why Me and our survivorship can really, a program can link together, because you're doing this already,
right?
Patient to patient.
We are.
So what do you think?
I think it's worth talking about. You know, let's get together, really. You know, the other, if I can just add, one of the things, we, the West Haven Breast Cancer Committee, wonderful organization, I know you know of them, they've given us money this past couple of years, and we created a program for the senior woman. Because a woman over 50 and the senior woman, you notice I said that, because a woman over 50, 51 is not there. The woman over 50 and the senior woman is at highest risk for breast cancer. So we said, let's get out into the senior centers. Let's go to their gatherings. Let's bring them some materials and talk to them about, have you had a mammogram? Do you do breast self-exam? And making them aware that, you know, that they should be doing that.
So, Barbara, if for those listening out there who want to learn more about Why Me or who want to have access to the hotline, can you maybe give the phone number?
Absolutely. I'm going to give you the hotline because from there everything can start. It's 800-1-800-221-2141.
And do you have a website?
We sure do. It's www.y-me.org. And it'll list all the affiliates. Just click on to Connecticut and you're there.
Terrific. Barbara, I want to thank you for joining us on Yale Cancer Center
Thank
Answers.
Thank you for having me, Doctor. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Barbara, it's been great having you, and we look forward to having you in a future show to learn more about what all the great things that WIME is doing.
Thank you so much.
Until next week, this is Dr. Ed Chu.
And Dr. Ken Miller.
From the Yale Cancer Center, wishing you a safe and healthy week.
If you have questions, comments, or would like to subscribe to our podcast, go to yalecancercenter.org, where you'll also find transcripts of past broadcasts in written form. Next week, Ed and Ken speak with Dr. Ellen Siegel, the founder of Friends of Cancer Research.